Good morning. We've all had our issues. I had a physical this week, and I went in and he said, well, we look at your age and look at life expectancy. And it was like, okay, walk in, walk back out. But realistically, and they look at the life expectancy and tailor the treatment or the exam accordingly. They're mindful of saving money. So Jesus and the Father laid down Jesus' life for us. I come up with bizarre titles. Probably left you all puzzled. Here's the thing. In John 3:16, it says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. So, as we'll see, Jesus put down or gave his life, but also God the Father gave his Son. They both gave. And if there wasn't a close attachment, if they didn't have the empathy with each other, if they weren't in each other, you would say, well, that was not a big sacrifice. But those of you who have children can remember how much you hurt when they hurt. And I remember Trev had to go in the hospital when he was young and had to get a blood sample taken. And he hated things like that. And I felt so helpless because I couldn't. There was a nurse there taking him aside, and I actually cried, which is something for me, because of empathy, feeling bad for him that I couldn't be there to help him. Have to go through those problems alone in one sense. They're the ones that have to handle it. I can't go in there and help them. So there was a big sacrifice by God the Father and by Jesus. But through that sacrifice, we can come to him. Because the Father and the Son deeply desire to be one with us. They're both willing to make that sacrifice. The ones who created the universe, why would they care so deeply about us? But they do. And we're going to be talking about love today. Think about the great love that they have, both the Father and the Son, for us, and deeply desire to be one with us. So open with prayer. Father, help us to understand the deep love you have for us. It's so full. Help us focus in on it, that it can, we can understand it and feel it so deeply or wallow in it and just feel the forgiveness and the loving kindness that you show towards us. Open our minds to understand and to drink in from your word through the Holy Spirit that we can understand. Open our minds. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, this is the fourth Saturday in the Easter season, and our headquarters publishes a scripture for each week, and I really like the write-up that they had this time, so I'm going to be drawing on it a lot. It starts off by talking about Forrest Gump, where he says, I may not be smart, but I know what love is. And the question of what's love. What I remember about the movie Forrest Gump was when he was little, he and this neighborhood girl got together, and she was kind to him, where he had physical problems and mental problems, and people made fun of him, but she was kind to him. So the movie goes through her life where she makes bad choices, but whenever she comes back, whenever he sees her, there's no condemnation, no accusations, complete acceptance. He was just joyful to see her, and he was also protective. So if he saw anybody hurt her, he beat the crap out of them. So think of Jesus and God as being like that, where no matter what we do, he's always there wanting and greatly desiring to see you and to have a relationship with you. And he's not condemning. You read in the New Testament about how Jesus accepted the Samaritan woman and so many different examples. Occasionally it was with a Pharisee, one of the righteous people, but mostly it was sinners. And in the Old Testament, this one will get us a little more into the theme of the Good Shepherd. We have a similar example where David committed adultery with Bathsheba, and then to hide his sin, he had her husband killed in battle, gave instructions. He didn't directly kill him, but he told the commander to fall back when they went into battle and leave him alone so he'd be killed. So in 2 Samuel 12, verse 1, it says, the Lord sent Nathan to David. When he came to him, he said, There were two men in a certain town, one rich and the other poor. The rich man had a very large number of sheep and cattle, but the poor man had nothing except one little ewe lamb he had brought up. He raised it, and it grew up with him and his children. It shared his food, drank from his cup, and even slept in his arms. It was like a daughter to him. Now a traveler came to the rich man, but the rich man refrained from taking one of his own sheep or cattle to prepare a meal for the traveler who had come to him. Instead, he took the ewe lamb that belonged to the poor man and essentially killed it and prepared it for the one who had come to him. At this, it says David burned with anger against the man. He was ready to beat the crap out of this person and said to Nathan, "As surely as the Lord lives, the man who did this must die. He must pay for that lamb four times over because he did such a thing and had no pity." And then Nathan said to David, "You are the man." So that really got home to David and really made an impact, because people at that time did have animals around. They were close to him, and David was a shepherd and had sheep. I expect he knew them by name. Our older son in Virginia, they have chickens, and the grandkids take care of them. They have names for them all. They pick them up all the time, handle them. But we also have foxes and hawks and falcons. So they lose them from time to time. And of course they cry, because that wasn't just a chicken. That was, I don't know what the name, Flossie, or they have names for them. But the point is, they're very close to those animals. And so they have a connection with them. Those chickens aren't just any chickens. They have a connection. They care about them. So the question is, what is love? In this presentation, that's the main question. What is love? I'm going to jump to 1 John 3:16. This isn't John 3:16. This is 1 John 3:16. And it says, "This is how we know what love is. Jesus Christ laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for our brothers and sisters. If anyone has material possessions and sees a brother or sister in need, but has no pity on them, how can the love of God be in that person? Dear children, let us not love with words or speech, but with actions and in truth." So that kind of answers the whole question in this message about what is love, but it's that Jesus died and for us. For believers, we do not have to come up with our own answer to that question. We trust that Jesus has already revealed to us the deepest knowing of love by showing us the identity of his Father, who is love and the source of love. Jesus doesn't just tell us or show us what love is, although he does that as well, but he invites us into that love in a very real and abiding way. Jesus extends the love of the Father to us, the very love he has experienced. And so that was my opening point of John 3:16, that both the Father and Jesus deeply love us and are willing to go to great sacrifice for us. It's only from this ground that we can truly say we know what love is, or more accurately, who love is. However, just saying we know what love is doesn't make it so. As we look around our world today, we will find plenty of people, movements, organizations, and so on that claim they know what love is. And everybody wants to make you think that they love us, that their concern is only for us. But we know what human nature is, and it's the self that is the chief motivator. It's only through Jesus and Holy Spirit and God the Father that we can have love and compassion and for other people, to really care selflessly. The only way to tell the difference is to know the real thing. For example, the best way to spot a counterfeit $100 bill is know what distinguishes a real one. And that's what we are given today in our text in John 10, when it comes to knowing the difference between the love of the Father and the counterfeit loves that masquerade around as the real thing. And as we'll see in the story, Jesus is the good shepherd and not like the hired hand who doesn't really care for the sheep. And we can trust we are being told about love in this text because it is the words of Jesus himself, the one who has come from the Father, the only one who can tell us what the love of the Father really is. And Jesus said, if you know him, then you know the Father. You've seen the Father. And we should be prepared that this subject is too deep to be contained in some rational or logical argument. The reality goes beyond what we can verify by our own reasoning power. So Jesus comes to us with an image, a metaphor, as a way to penetrate deeper than mere words can explain. So let's jump down to the first verse in John chapter 10, verse 11. He says, "I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep." So he doesn't just say shepherd, he says good shepherd, which implies that there are bad shepherds too. But Jesus is the good shepherd, and he lays down his life for the sheep. Now, if all the shepherds laid down their life for their sheep, there wouldn't be many shepherds left. But this is different with Jesus because he laid down his life and was able to take it up again. He had the power to lay it down and to raise it up. And that was because of his Father. And this was part of his plan. And because he laid down his life for us, then we can come to him and the Father and have eternal life and have a relationship with him. Where are we given the descriptor of good? First, this sets up a distinction that must be considered when identifying the true shepherd of Israel from other competing or counterfeit shepherds. The adjective good, which can also mean right, proper, honorable, and beautiful, alerts us to the fact that there can be bad or wrong, improper, dishonorable, or downright ugly shepherds that parade around as angels of light. And lots of people tell you how great they are and how good, and you don't have to worry with me. I'll do right by you. I wouldn't do anything wrong. So we must discern the difference. And Jesus goes further to help us discern that difference with the actions that will accompany a good shepherd. And that action is described as one who lays down his life for the sheep. And so you'll notice in the 8 verses that we're focusing on today that a reference to laying down one's life appears 5 times. This clues us in on a major distinction between what constitutes a good shepherd and what does not. And second, by including the adjective good, Jesus is building our trust in him and in the Father who sent him. So Jesus will now go further to describe in more detail what we can expect from a counterfeit shepherd. So here's the hired hand. So in John 10, verses 12 and 13, "He who is a hired hand and not a shepherd, who does not own the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees, and the wolf snatches them and scatters them. He flees because he is a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep." So he doesn't have a relationship with sheep, probably doesn't know their names, and he's out there for the money, something he has to do. Throughout the biblical witness, we find many images of shepherds that did not live up to the description of good. In Isaiah 56, the rulers of God's people are described as shepherds who only care for themselves. They prefer getting drunk when they should be watching over the flock. And in Jeremiah 10, Judah's leadership is referred to as stupid shepherds who allowed the scattering of God's sheep. And in Ezekiel 34, a severe denunciation is given to the shepherds of Israel as they are accused of gorging themselves when they should have been feeding the sheep. They are not concerned for the health and safety of the sheep. In short, they do not love the sheep. Rather, they love their own power and control over the sheep that gets expressed with harshness and even violence. Jesus is not saying something new here. Perhaps Jesus knows we need the reminder that not all shepherds are good. So we need to be discerning. Not all those who come proclaiming to protect and save us are trustworthy. Not all claims to love are in fact love at all. Perhaps Jesus knows our tendency to become naive and then be deceived. Even in this metaphor, he is serving as the good shepherd by giving a warning as a means of protecting the sheep. So Jesus is contrasting the good shepherd with the hired hand, one that is willing to lay down his life for us, for the sheep, as opposed to the one that's just doing it for the money. It's a good reminder at this point to say that Jesus is using a metaphor. Otherwise, logic would say that the hired hand should, by all accounts, save his own life and let the wolf snatch a sheep or two. So if we were guarding the sheep, we'd like to think that we would be brave and try to save the sheep or to scare away the wolf. But if the wolf turned on us, we might say, it's better to save myself than the sheep. I'm worth more than the sheep. But Jesus is saying, He's willing to lay his life down for them. So these aren't ordinary sheep. These are the sheep, of course, are us. And he's willing to guard us and lay down his life for us. And he did. And in this Easter season, we're reminded and the fact that he laid down his life for us. He rose again and sits at the right hand of God in heaven. And he's the one that's for us, as well as the Father, and deeply desiring us and cheering for us. Continuing on in verses 14 to 16 of John 10, says, I am the good shepherd. I know my own, and my own know me, just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father. And I lay down my life for the sheep, and I have other sheep that are not of this fold. I must bring them also, and they will listen to my voice. So there will be one flock, one shepherd. So when he talks about other sheep that are not of this fold, the obvious conclusion is that he's talking about Gentiles here. But Gentiles were one that didn't have the same belief as the Jews. And Jesus is saying that he has other sheep that are not Jews, that are not following that form of worship, and that he's going to bring them into a fold so that there will be one flock and one shepherd. So Jesus again states he's the good shepherd, and that statement is followed up with the claim that the shepherd knows his sheep and that those sheep know him. Moreover, the manner of this knowing between shepherd and sheep is comparable to the way the Father knows the Son and the Son knows the Father. That's a startling claim, especially when we take into account Jesus' words later in verse 38 of the same chapter when he says, the Father is in me and I am in the Father. So that's some pretty serious, intimate knowing. And getting back to the line about, and I have other sheep that are not of this fold. I know of people saying that, I think they were Lutheran and there's split in the Lutheran, and she could take communion at her friend's church, but her friend couldn't take communion in her church. And so I think we don't make that distinction, best I know, that we welcome everyone that understands God. You have to understand there's a commitment in scripture that says some people are sick and so on because they didn't take of the communion worthily, but we let God make the distinction as to who the Christians are, who he's called. So letting this metaphor of shepherd, letting the metaphor take us beyond some literal relationship between sheep and shepherd, we are able to take Jesus' words about knowing as belonging to his claim of being the good shepherd. And this may shed some light on our previous question of what good is a dead shepherd? So this is something they brought up before. And as I mentioned, if all the shepherds gave their lives, there wouldn't be any shepherds left. But Jesus is the good shepherd, and his dying made all the difference in the world for us, because through his sacrifice and the sacrifice of his Father too, to give his only Son, only begotten Son, we now have direct access to them. And we can have this intimate relationship, like the Father is in me and I am in the Father, that Jesus said. If Jesus lays down his life for the sheep, wouldn't that open the flock up for attacks from the wolf? Or is Jesus speaking of something deeper that he does for the sheep in laying down his life? Is it possible that what Jesus wants us to see is that what qualifies him as the good shepherd is that he is the one who has enabled us to know the Father with the same knowing the Son has of his Father? Jesus is also the good shepherd in that he knows us as one of the sheep, not just as a hired hand. After all, it is a shepherd who lays down his life that can identify with a sheep who has been snatched by a wolf. So Jesus is speaking way deeper about what good he brings to the sheep in his laying down of his life than some literal protection from death. So the key point here is it is the death of the good shepherd that has brought the sheep into the fold of the life and love of the Father, Son, and Spirit. And as Jesus indicates, he is bringing other sheep into that fold as well. And this is where we come full circle with our discussion about knowing what love is. So let's wrap up with the last two verses. So verses 17 and 18 of John 10. For this reason, the Father loves me, because I lay down my life, that I might take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have authority to lay it down, and I have authority to take it up again. This charge I have received from my Father. So Jesus and the Father working together, they were both involved. They were both intimate, a part of each other. The Father is in me and I am in the Father. So notice how interrelated Jesus and his Father are, and Jesus laying down his life for the sheep. They are both operating out of the same love. Jesus is showing us the love of the Father, and we are to see that the Father loves us in the same way that he loves his own Son. And the Son is loving us by the authority of the Father's love. There's no difference between the Father's love for us and the love we see in Jesus. They both have the same love, desire to be with us, to have a relationship with us, and someday to have eternal life with us. The Good Shepherd who lays his life down for us, and that love seeks to bring us into an intimate relationship of knowing the Father through the Son by the Spirit. This is what gives Jesus the distinction of being the Good Shepherd. Our greatest good is to be brought into a relationship with the Father, where we know him and we are known by him. John later will write this as a description of eternal life. In John 17:3, he says, "And this is eternal life, that they know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent." So we must not end there. Jesus also mentions in this closing verse that he not only lays down his life for us, but that he also may take it up again. And with that statement, we are reminded of what we are celebrating during the season of Easter. And this season goes up until Pentecost. So we'll be focusing on the death and resurrection of Christ and his ascension to the throne in the coming weeks. Our Good Shepherd is a risen shepherd. He is still shepherding you and me, even in this text, to know him and his Father more. He is continuing to love us with the very love the Father has for him, so we too can come to rest in the assurance of knowing what love is. And it occurs to me that many of us have pets, so we have a connection that we can relate to, like David had with sheep and people in the past times did with their animals. And we get attached to our pets. We get to know their personality. Of course, they have names. And we get very distressed when they get sick or have injuries. Continuing, the Good Shepherd is still warning us and guarding us against the hired hands who do not have our best interest in mind, but would sell us out to the wolf at the first sight of cost to themselves. So it's given the example of Forrest Gump when he saw people not treating Jenny right would defend her. And likewise, we have a Good Shepherd indeed who defends us and takes care of us. Through his death and resurrection, he has brought us into the one fold of belonging to the one truly Good Shepherd. So what good is a dead shepherd? His goodness lies in the truth of who he is. He is the one who knows us as one of the sheep all the way from birth to death. When John writes of the crucifixion of Jesus, he portrays Jesus as the Passover lamb. This dead shepherd, however, lives and reigns, as John would later pen in the book of Revelation, as a lamb standing as though it had been slain. This reigning shepherd is also our king, risen and reigning in the goodness of who he is as the Son of the Father, who knows what love is, and he lives to bring us into a knowing relationship with himself and his Father to participate in that covenant love that will never leave or forsake us. So let's close with prayer. Father, thank you for the great love that you, the Father, and Jesus have for us in the sacrifice you both made for us through Jesus' death and resurrection and sitting now at your right hand on the throne in heaven. Thank you for the Holy Spirit to be our comfort and to work through us and inspire us. Thank you that we can be in you and the Father and in the Spirit. Help us to share that love with one another through fellowship, with helping one another and being compassionate on our fellow human being, as you said once before about people said, when did we visit you? And he said, when you visited me in prison and so on. So he's showing us that when we help each other, we're really dealing with you. So help us to think of that, to draw strength from you, and to follow you. In Jesus' name, amen.